Blog Talk Radio.
Because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God, love his brother also. Heavenly Father, I dedicate myself to you this day in spirit, soul, and body. Convict me of any way in my thoughts, words, or deeds that have been displeasing to you. I ask for your cleansing from all sin according to your word that promises that if I confess my sin, then you'll be faithful to forgive me and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. As I confess and decree your word, may your Holy Spirit help me to be a passionate worshiper, a lover of truth, and faithful child who brings pleasure to your righteous heart. May I experience spiritual strengthening through the power of your word. For your word does not return void, but accomplishes everything it is sent to do. Grant unto me a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, for the glory of your name and kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. That we will with all readiness and preparation be diligent to the service of the Lord. We pray that we will stay in our prospective calls. We pray that we will focus our attention on the word and the perfect will of God in accordance to the divine plan and instruction of God as written in his holy word. We pray that we will not seek after a title or position, but that you will make us into effective laborers. We pray that we will minister the unadulterated word of God, not mixed with men's opinions or worldly renditions. We pray that we speak the truth in love as a vessel demonstrating God's immeasurable love and forgiveness. We pray also for God's anointing upon our lives and ministries. We pray that we will be led of the Holy Spirit. We pray that the Lord will impart to us the gifts of the Holy Spirit that will enable us to minister to the needs of those he sends us to. We pray for the grace to finish the work started as ordered by the Lord until completion of our assignment. In Jesus' name, amen.
Bearing all my sin and shame.
Welcome to the House of Christ Ministries presents Proclaiming Jesus Christ Throughout the World by Honoring the Great Commission. I'm your host, Reverend Donald Davis, coming to you from Elmont, New York. We will be on the air every Wednesday and Sundays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We will not be taking any calls, but if you have questions, please email us at hodminister@gmail.com. Or you could write to us at House of Christ Ministries, Inc., P.O. Box 30371, Elmont, New York, 11003. You can visit our social Christian network at www.myhocm.ning.com. Visit our Christian bookstore at www.houseofchristbookstore.com. Our online Bible Institute at www.houseofchristbibleinstitute.org. Our online Bible College at www.houseofchristbiblecollege.org. You can also visit our affiliated school of ministry, House of David Ministries, Inc. at www.reverseofrevival.com. And we are pleased to announce that we have established a branch of the House of David School of Ministries in Orlando, Florida. We believe in the Great Commission according to Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20, and Mark 16, verses 17 through 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Afterwards he appeared unto the 11, as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven, and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. The evidence of the truth of the gospel are so full that those who receive it not may justly be upbraided with their unbelief. Our blessed Lord renewed his voice of the 11 as his apostles and commissioned them to go into all the world to preach his gospel to every creature. Only he that is a true Christian shall be saved through Jesus Christ. Simon Magus professed to believe and was baptized, yet he was declared to be in the bonds of iniquity. In Acts 8, verses 13 to 25, then Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip, and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which are done. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who then they were come down, prayed for them, that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And when Simon saw the true laying on the of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, "Give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, they may receive the Holy Ghost." But Peter said unto him, "Thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thoughts of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness, and in the bond of iniquity." Then answered Simon and said, "Pray ye to the Lord for me, that none of these things which ye have spoken come upon me." And they, when they had testified, preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem, and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans.
And the Lord said, "He who is without sin, cast the first stone."
Hallelujah.
Christ Ministries, Inc. is an outreach ministry that shares the gospel of Jesus Christ through a variety of mediums, from our radio broadcast at House of Christ Ministries, proclaiming Jesus Christ throughout the world and honoring the Great Commission on www.blogtalkradio.com/Reverend Davis every Wednesday and Sundays, to our monthly mailing lessons, our social Christian network, our online Bible Institute and Bible College, our websites, our posting of words of the day on numerous websites throughout the world. We are reaching hundreds throughout the world for Jesus Christ. It is our desire to take the uncompromised and anointed word of God to the whole world, starting with our local community, bringing lost souls to a practical relationship with Jesus Christ. Our mission at the House of Christ Ministries is to proclaim Jesus Christ throughout the world and prepare believers and non-believers how to live independently and have dominion to reign over the enemy of this world. We encourage you to sow into this ministry for the furtherance of the gospel of Jesus Christ and winning souls for the kingdom. Your prayer and financial support are an important component to bringing the gospel to the world. Together, we can make a difference. If you would like to send your prayer request, or share a testimony, or make a donation, please contact us at House of Christ Ministries, Inc., P.O. Box 30371, Elmont, New York, 11003. Or you could email us at hodminister@gmail.com.
And in all Judea and in Samaria
and unto the uttermost part of the earth. We encourage you to join us every Sunday and Wednesdays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time at www.blogtalkradio.com/Reverend Davis. Our lesson for tonight is the beginning and the end. Time for Noah and his family to adventure out into this new landscaped world. It would not be the same as it was before. Genesis chapter 8, verses 15 through 22 says, "And God spake unto Noah, saying, Go forth of the ark, thou and thy wife and thy sons, and thy sons' wives with thee. Bring forth with thee every living thing that is with thee, of all flesh, both of fowl and of cattle, and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, that they may breed abundantly in the earth, and be fruitful and multiply upon the earth. And Noah went forth, and his sons, and his wife, and his sons' wives with them, every beast, every creeping thing, and every fowl, and whatsoever creepeth upon the earth, after their kind, went forth out of the ark. And Noah builded an altar unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast, and of every clean fowl, and offered burnt offering on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more everything living, as I have done. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. Although Noah was trying to see if the land was dry, and probably asked God several times, God yet waited until he was ready to address Noah. Many of us are in the same way, in that we try to rush to God to get answer. But God is patient and waits until the appointed time, and then he speaks. Although Noah was anxious to leave the ark, he yet waited for God's direction. Noah probably understood the importance of following the direction and leading of the Holy Spirit. When we follow God, he is going before us to make our way prosperous. If we go on our own, we open the door to the devil to destroy us. In verse 17, God speaks of the animals and other life and says that they should be fruitful and multiply, but he does not mention the word replenish in regards to animal life. This is the same principle that God used in Genesis chapter 1, verse 22. He doesn't tell the fowls of the air or animals to replenish the earth. It is something to take note of. And that is although Noah's sons were 100 years old, neither of them had any children. It could be that the Lord did not allow them to have children until the work of the ark was done. They may have been disappointed, perhaps thinking that their wives were barren, or they may have understood the plan and purpose of God for them regarding the repopulation of the earth at a later date. Noah and his family leave the ark and use some of the clean animals that they took by sevens and not just by twos to offer a sacrifice unto the Lord. This clearly gives the reason why God told Noah to take seven of the clean animals, sacrifice to God, and food for Noah and his family were the purpose for this. God says that man's imagination in his heart is evil, even from his youth. God states that he will never again curse the ground for man's sake or destroy every living thing. God promises that the earth will stay the same with four seasons forever as long as it exists. Chapter 9 of Genesis tells us of God's instructions to Noah upon repopulation, as well as promising Noah and his children forever that he, God, would not flood the earth again. Genesis chapter 9, verses 1 through 7 says, And God blessed Noah and his sons, and said unto them, Be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth. And the fear of you, and the dread of you, shall be upon every beast of the earth, and upon every fowl of the air, upon all that moveth upon the earth, and upon all the fishes of the sea. Into your hand are they delivered. Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you, even as the green herb have I given all things. But flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall ye not eat. And surely your blood of your lives will I require. At the hand of every beast will I require it, and at the hand of man, at the hand of every man's brother, will I require the life of man. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he man, and you be ye fruitful, and multiply, bring forth abundantly in the earth, and multiply therein. God blesses Noah and his sons, and tells them to be fruitful and multiply. And then he adds the words, replenish the earth. Why did God tell this to Noah, and not in regards to the animals? As with Adam in Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, God was giving Noah and his sons the responsibility to see that life spreads throughout the earth. For man had dominion, and with dominion comes responsibility. That responsibility was to make sure that the earth would grow in its inhabitants. In verse 2, God lets Noah understand that the relationship that humanity had with the animal kingdom was going to change. Everything would be fear and dread, be reluctant to have relationship with man. Noah was commanded not to eat anything with blood in it, as well as not to shed man's blood. For man was made in the image of God, and God holds that in high esteem. God now makes a statement that he's going to establish a covenant with Noah, his seed, and every living creature that was on the ark. Genesis chapter 9, verses 8 through 17 speaks of this. It says, And God spake unto Noah and to his sons with him, saying, And I, behold, I establish my covenant with you, and with your seed after you, and with every living creature that is with you, of the fowl, of the cattle, and of every beast of the earth with you, from all that go out of the ark, to every beast of the earth, and I will establish my covenant with you. Neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of the flood. Neither shall there be any more be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, This is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you, for perpetual generations. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass, when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you, and every living creature of all flesh, and the waters shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. And the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, This is the token of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is upon the earth. God establishes his covenant, solemn pledge with Noah, his seed, children from the generation to generation, with all the animals that came out of the ark. God promises never to cut off all flesh by waters of a flood, nor to destroy the earth by flood. God tells Noah that there will be a token or symbol of his pledge, and that would be that whenever it rains, man's fear, that a bow, a rainbow symbolizing God's promise, shall be seen in the clouds. Because of this bow, God would remember his covenant, and the waters would not become a flood for all future generations. I believe that the bow is actually half of a circle. Man only sees half of the circle, but the other portion is in heaven, where God sees it continually. We'll take a look at Revelation 4, verse 3. And the family, and Noah and his family now leave the ark, and man again begins to repopulate the earth. Genesis chapter 9, verses 18 through 29 tells us of the rest of Noah's life. It reads, "And the sons of Noah that went forth of the ark were Shem and Ham and Japheth. And Ham is the father of Canaan. There are the three sons of Noah, and of them was the whole earth overspread." "And Noah began to be an husbandman, and he planted a vineyard. And he drank of the wine, and was drunken, and he was uncovered within his tent. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father, and told his two brethren without, and Shem and Japheth."
Oh Lord my God, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Lord, there's none like unto thee. Oh, thank you, Jesus.
And Noah awoke from his wine, and knew what his younger son had done unto him. And he said, Cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren. And he said, Blessed be the Lord God of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. God shall enlarge Japheth, and he shall dwell in the tents of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. And Noah lived after the flood 350 years, and all the days of Noah were 950 years, and he died. Noah began to cultivate the ground, and he planted a vineyard. From the vineyard he made wine and got drunk, and lay naked in his tent. His son Ham saw his father's nakedness, and tried to shame his father by telling his brothers. Noah's son Japheth and Shem were respectful to their father by covering without looking upon his nakedness. When Noah awoke, he knew what Ham had done, and he cursed Ham's son Canaan by saying he would be a servant to the other two sons' family lines. There are many thoughts about why Noah cursed his grandson instead of his son, who actually committed the violation. There are two possible reasons we will look at out of many. The Bible says that God visits the iniquity or sin of the fathers to their children. 2, this was a prophetic curse. Prophetically, it was known that the Canaanites would resist God's chosen people from inheriting the promised land, and thus they were cursed from their origins or early point. This curse would also hinder them from having the ability to stand against Shem's seed, which were the Hebrew people. So we can believe that this was prophecy and not just personal feelings against Canaan. Noah blessed the God of Shem, which gives further proof that these are prophetical statements, for only Shem served the true and living God. Noah spoke good words over Japheth, but did not bless his God, only Shem's God. This chapter gives the genealogy of the three sons of Noah. All the people who presently live on the planet are descendants of Noah and his wife, through their three sons and their wives. There is one of Ham's grandson that is of note, Nimrod, who is believed to be the founder of Babylon. Genesis chapter 10, verses 6 through 10 tells us of Nimrod. It reads, And the sons of Ham, Cush, and Mizraim, and Put, and Canaan, and the sons of Cush, Seba, and Avila, and Sabta, and Ramat, and Sabtecha, and the sons of Ramat, Sheba, and Dedan. And Cush begot Nimrod. He began to be a mighty one in the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Wherefore it is said, Even as Nimrod the mighty hunter before the Lord. And the beginning of his kingdom was Babel, and Erech, and Akkad, and Calneth, in the land of Shinar. Genesis chapter 10, verse 25, gives us insight into the breakup of the one supercontinent that the earth originally had. It reads, "And unto Eber were born two sons. The name of one was Peleg. For in his days was the earth divided, and his brother's name was Joktan. From Noah to the breaking up of the continents were five generations. This happened from 101 to 130 years after the flood, roughly around the years 1757 to 1786 of creation, or 2243 BC to 2243 BC. Genesis chapter 10 and 11 have overlapping information. Each chapter gives insight regarding some of the things that are happening during these generations. Genesis chapter 11 verses 1 through 4 says, "And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelled there. And they said one to another, Go, let us make brick, and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, Go, let us build us a city and a tower, whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth." It would seem at this point all of humanity were one nation of people, speaking one language and having one government or leader. Every race was respected here. The people began to migrate east from Ararat towards Shinar, modern-day Iraq. The people decided to build a city and a tower in Shinar, whose top would reach the heaven. These people wanted greatness to keep the people subjugated to one leadership. Even here we have the spirit of the Antichrist wanting to have world domination and control. Some have speculated and said that the reason they wanted to build a tower to reach the sky is that they did not trust God, and were giving themselves a secret measure, a security measure rather, in the case the earth was flooded once again. We appear to be having some technical difficulties, so we will go right back to the lesson. Whenever man tries to eliminate their need of God due to their own idolatry of united man, then God has to step in. Man's achievements are natural and soon are forgotten and destroyed over time. Yet God's greatness is eternal. Often man's accomplishments offer false glory and build the spiritual mind of men, causing eternal loss due to what they feel are natural gains. God often has to step in to rescue man. When man loses or rejects his dependence and need for God, then he is truly lost. Genesis chapter 11, verses 5 through 9 gives us an example of God stepping in. Oh, how great this generation reminds me of Babylon. The scripture reads, "And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower, which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, Behold, the people is one, and they have all one language. And this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them, which they have imagined to do."
Let everything that has breath praise the Lord.
Reach out.
Oh, bless the name of Jesus.
This is an appeal to reach out and touch Jesus.
As he's passing your way right this very moment,
you will find he's not to be dead.
I'm talking to you, my sister. I'm talking to you, my brother. I'm talking to some mother. I'm talking to some father right now. I'm talking to that young man. I'm talking to that young woman. Jesus is passing away right now. If you just reach out and touch Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus of Nazareth is passing your way. Somebody just reach out and touch Jesus right now. Everybody of his soul, right now in the name of Jesus, reach out and touch Jesus
as he
keeps passing your way.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower, which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, Behold, the people is one, and they have all one language. And this they begin to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them, which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down, and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence, upon the face of all the earth. And they left off to build the city. Therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth, and from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. God came down to see the city and tower. God knew that because of the common language and political unity that man had, as well as not having any hindrances in themselves collectively to stop him, gave them the ability to accomplish whatever they imagined. But there is a problem with this, and that is in Genesis chapter 8, verse 21, in which God said, that man's imaginations were evil. God knew that man would use his collective strength and evil imagination to do terrible things. God the Father speaks to God the Son and God the Holy Spirit in verse 7. When he says, let us go down, and there confound their language. God confounded their language to slow down the growth and concentration of evil in the land. When evil works together, then great evil is its result. It is here at Babel that all the languages of the world began. When God confounded their speech by creating various languages, the political unity was broken because they could not understand each other. It seemed like each person was just babbling on. And this is what the name of the city is derived from. And the word babbling itself comes from. This is a great problem in our world today. Man again can speak one language through technical means and interpretations. Once again, our evil imaginations will be concentrated and cause great damage. But as in the days of the Tower of Babel, God will soon come down to stop the concentrated works of evil very soon. This confounding of language caused separation of the people into nations. The confounded language caused separation of the peoples into nations. Those who spoke the same languages probably moved and lived together in various regions. The division of languages probably were those who were not from the same family line. God, in his mercy, most likely allowed those in the same families to communicate. Genesis chapter 11, verses 10 through 26, begins to give us the lineage of Shem, bringing us to the patriarch Abraham. It reads, These are the generations of Shem. Shem was 100 years old and begat Arphaxad 2 years after the flood. And Shem lived after he begat Arphaxad 500 years and begat sons and daughters. And Arphaxad lived 530 years and begat Selah. And Arphaxad lived after he begat Selah 403 years and begat sons and daughters. And Selah lived 30 years and begat Eber. And Selah lived after he begat Heber 403 years and begat sons and daughters. And Eber lived 430 years and begat Peleg. And Eber lived after he begat Peleg 430 years and begat sons and daughters. And Peleg lived 30 years and begat Reu. And Peleg lived after he begat Reu 209 years and begat sons and daughters. And Reu lived 230 years and begat Serug. And Reu lived after he begat Serug 207 years and begat sons and daughters. And Serug lived 30 years and begat Nahor. And Serug lived after he begat Nahor 200 years and begat sons and daughters. And Nahor lived 29 years and begat Terah. And Nahor lived after he begat Terah 119 years and begat sons and daughters. And Terah lived 70 years and begat Abram, Nahor, and Aram. Again, as with Noah, who was 500 years old, had 3 sons, we find Terah being 70 years old, having 3 sons. From this we can deduce that it is a good possibility that Abram was a triplet, just like Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Genesis chapter 11, verses 27 through 32, begins to chronicle the life of Abraham. It reads, "Now these are the generations of Terah. Terah begat Abram, Nahor, and Aaron begat Lot. And Aaron died before his father Terah in the land of his nativity, in Ur of the Chaldees. And Abram and Nahor took them wives. The name of Abram's wife was Sarah, and the name of Nahor's wife, Milcah, the daughter of Aaron, the father of Milcah, and the father of Ishka. But Sarah was barren, and she had no child. And Terah took Abram his son, and Lot the son of Aaron his son's son, and Sarah his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife, and they went forth with them from Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan. And they came unto Aaron and dwelt there. And the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Aaron." We now have the introduction of Abram through the line of Shem, whose seed will be the nation that God calls to himself, and will cause the promised Messiah to be birthed from. Please take note of the rapid reduction in lifespan from those before the flood and those after the flood. The atmosphere was changed after the windows of heaven was open. structure above the earth offered a protective barrier that made life fuller. As we continue on this spiritual journey, our lesson for tonight was the conclusion of tonight's lesson in the beginning. I pray that it was a blessing to you. If you would like more information on tonight's lesson, or you'd like to request copies of previous lessons, please write to us at House of Christ Ministries, Inc., P.O. Box 30371, Elmont, New York, 11003. Or you could email us at hodminister@gmail.com. We appear to be experiencing some technical difficulties at this time, but we pray that the matter will be resolved and we will be able to play the hymnals or the songs.
For behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, the pay of a man, according as his work shall be. Gonna take a church.
Take a church someday.
So be watchful and be ready.
Watchful and be ready.
I hear my Savior say.
I hear my Savior say.
When the trump of God shall sound.
Trump of God shall sound.
And the dead in Christ shall rise.
The dead in Christ shall rise.
All the saints shall rise up.
Saints,
hallelujah,
to meet him.
Way up yonder, up yonder,
up yonder.
Oh, bless the name
God
of Jesus.
As my Jesus was about to depart from this earth, disciples, he appeared unto them.
Hallelujah.
They asked, Master, please will you tell us, Lord, what shall the sign of your coming be? He said, let not your heart be troubled, my little children. Oh, you shall keep praying.
Hallelujah, 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 we praise the Lord.
beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come. And even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. We encourage you to join us every Sunday and Wednesdays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'm your host, Reverend Donald Davis, wishing you God's richest blessing and good night.